Once we greet the customer, what's the next thing we do? What's the next step of the selling process? Determining our customer's needs, of course. The two main objectives of determining our customer's needs are, one, to build value, and two, to build rapport. We build value by finding out what's important to our customer in their next purchase and matching our product to those wants and needs. We build rapport by demonstrating to our customer a sincere interest in them. Most of us would agree that an important part of the rapport building process is finding common ground. But not all customers have the same interests. There is, however, one important, profound interest that each of our customers have in common. And that profound interest is themselves. The following is a portion of a live workshop where we explore the process of determining our customers' needs.
After the greeting, what comes next? Qualifying or determining a customer's needs, right? How do we determine a customer's needs?
Asking questions.
Okay. What are the two most basic types of questions that we can ask? Thank you very much. Opened or closed? Tell me, what is a closed-ended question?
Do you like blue or red?
Yep, I like red. What's a closed-ended question? A question that can be answered with one word. That's a closed-ended question. Well, then what's an open-ended question?
One that requires a thing.
What are you looking for?
Car.
That requires thought of answer.
An open-ended question is a question that requires elaboration or more than one word. Closed one word, open is several words. Closed-ended questions. Bless you. And there are three basic types of closed-ended questions. And these are real basic things. For those of you who've been in the business for quite some time, please just hang with me. I'll fly through this, but I do need to cover it. The three most basic closed-ended questions are control questions, tie-downs or tag-ons, and buying tendency questions. What are control questions?
Why can't you
say? Red or blue? A control question is a question we ask the customer and supply the answer to. Are you looking for a new car previously owned? Do you like light colors or dark colors? Did you want a five-speed or automatic? What's closer to our dealership, your house or your home? Who's your lucky one to get the new car, you or somebody else? Basically, it's an either-or question. You're asking the question and supplying the customer with the answer. Also, we're talking about controlling the customer. I don't believe we can control the customer. We can control the transaction. We can make ourselves worthy of being followed and therein control the customer. Understand that the person asking questions has control. And that's why control questions should be a part of your repertoire, something that you're unconsciously competent about. That you don't even have to think about it, they just come to you. Boom, 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 boom. You can just belt them out. And the reason for that will become self-evident. Tie-downs or tag-ons, what are those? Yeah, those are questions that we ask to get the small yeses. And you can pepper those in your walk-around presentation throughout the entire transaction. I like to see us get a series of small yeses instead of waiting till the end to get that big yes. Okay? And it does. It makes the customer much more pliable. How many of you are using tie-downs and tag-ons right now? Let me see your hands. Good portion of you. You came here to pick up a few more skills, right? Isn't that true? So to help you make a little bit more money and to take your career, hopefully, to the next step, right? And you did the same thing. You've been exposed to this before in the past, and a lot of it's worked for you, right? Part of the reason why you're here again.
Change, get me in the
car business,
basically.
Cool. And so you're back again for that reason. And you can see what I'm doing, can't you? Can't you all see what I'm doing?
I can see.
It's very obvious, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it obvious? Isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't it a little obnoxious?
Yes.
Isn't it? Yeah. But I got you guys to say yes again, didn't I?
No.
Yeah. Basically, it's isn't it, couldn't it, wouldn't it? Or repeating back to the customer what you know is true, what they told you. And then buying tendency questions are exactly what you did. They look and sound like open-ended questions, but can still be answered with one word. How many people is this car normally going to have to carry? Sounds like an open-ended question, but they can go, four. What are you looking for today? Car. Okay? Those are Closed-ended questions. Open-ended questions are basically how, what, why, and tell me. Again, they're designed, go ahead and write that down. They're designed to get the customer to talk a lot. Get the customer to talk a lot. How many of you understand, and if you don't raise your hand. How many of you get this, that building gross is in direct proportion to the rapport and the value that you have built? How many of you feel that finding common ground is an integral part of building rapport? Good, good. How many of you know that not every customer fishes? Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you something. What common interest do we have with every single customer that walks on the lot? Yeah, we have a basic of human needs to be valued and understood. That's one. Cars isn't it, but thank you for playing. Yes. Okay. Not everyone has families, and hopefully everyone has a job. All right, let me ask you this. What is the single most used word in the English language?
I.
The single most used word in the English language is the word I. What does that tell us? We are our own favorite subject. Ooh. I feel something profound coming on. Well, if the customer's favorite subject is himself, what do we have in common with him? If we have a genuine interest in him, and he has a genuine interest in him, don't we have something in common? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Before you find out whether he's got a kid, before you find out whether or not he has a nine, before you find out anything that you have in common with each other, first establish that the one thing you have in common is a genuine interest in him. That's what building rapport is. That's one thing for sure you're going to have in common with every customer. Does that make sense? And we're going to do that in the determining the needs. Why do we determine needs? What are we trying to do? Yeah, what are we trying to determine?
Land them on the top of car.
What is hot buttons are?
First, we're trying to land them on a car, find out what their hot buttons are. Why else? Why else do we ask them questions?
So it seems like we care.
Our customers don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. And in determining the customer's needs, we're going to ask him questions, but we also want to encourage him to talk about himself. And that's when we do it, because we're selling ourselves. What are the three things that we sell?
Ourselves,
the car, and the dealership, right? Why do we do this greeting thing? Why do we just practice the greeting? What are we selling?
Ourselves, man.
When we determine the customer's needs, yes, we have to find their hot buttons, but we also have to be mad selling ourselves. And we're going to sell ourselves by proving to the customer we have a genuine interest in him. So, this is what we're going to do. Cece, I need your help. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to be the customer, and you're going to determine my needs. I want you to ask me questions for about 4 minutes. I want you to, one, find my two hot buttons, and two, build rapport with me. But don't ask me about my family until I give you permission. I'll bite your head off. Don't ask me what I do for a living or what I can afford or how much I wanted to spend, because I'll buy the store and the first thing I'll do is fire you. I'll give you permission and it'll be as obvious as your customers are obvious. I'm going to go down the row here. Everyone's going to ask one question. You're going to greet me and then you're going to ask me the first question. And then we're going to go right down the list here. Okay? Christina, I want you to take a piece of paper out for me with a pen. Draw a line down the middle of the page. On the right-hand side, put open, and on the left-hand side, put closed. If the question is answered by one word, just put a little mark under closed. If I have to use more than one word, put it under open. I want you all to listen, because don't ask me the same question twice. Once you determine my needs, once you've found my hot buttons and you've made contact with me, and you think 4 minutes has gone by, just say, okay, I got an idea, follow me, and we'll stop. Everyone got the drill? Okay. Greet me and, oh, you don't have to get up. Greet me and ask the first question.
Welcome to Jalopy Motors. I'm Charles, and you are?
Hi, Charles. Michael's my name.
Nice to meet you, Michael.
Thanks.
How can we help you today?
I'm looking for a car.
Is that car going to be for you or for someone else?
For me.
What do you need your car to do for you?
Basically, all I really do is just drive from my house to the airport, airport back to my house. That's basically all I use it for.
Have you lived in Oregon all your life, or are you imported?
I'm imported.
Will you be driving this car or someone else?
Me.
Two-door, four-door?
Four-door.
Stick, automatic?
Automatic.
Will you be using it for work or
personal use? Work or personal use? Like I said before, basically, all I do is drive from my house to the airport, airport back to my house. That's basically all I'm going to use it for. Occasionally, I'll have clients in the car. Occasionally, I'll have my family in the car. But basically, just airport, house, house, airport.
Four-door?
Deja vu. Yeah, four-door.
About how long is your commute?
About 25 minutes. 20 if I'm trying to catch a flight.
You have a color preference?
White.
What do you like about the car that you drive now?
Okay, very good question, by the way. Let me ask you something. How many of you know someone that drives from their house to the airport and airport back to the house? Okay, so when you hear that, one person. So when you hear that, what's the next question that comes to your mind? Yeah, what are you, a terrorist? What do you do? Are you a pilot? Wouldn't you want to ask that? Okay, so when I say I drive from my house to the airport, airport back to my house, and the next question is, did you want a two-door or four-door, what is that salesperson interested in?
Selling a car.
You guys get that? Well, sometimes I carry clients, and occasionally I'll carry my family, but basically me, boom, boom. And the next question is, light colors or dark colors, what is that salesperson interested in? Selling me a car. They're not interested in me. Do you guys get that?
That was the obvious point to ask right here.
I'm trying. I mean, think about the last customer you talked to. It's that obvious. It is that obvious. Part of the reason why in a greeting I don't like, hi, how are you folks doing today? Is because they know that every other salesperson they dealt with before didn't care. So when we greet them, hey, how are you doing today? Immediately in their mind, they're thinking, maybe not in front, maybe in the back, but at least somewhere in there, they're thinking, hey, you don't care. What are you, a doctor? You don't care how I'm doing today. But the customer wants to be valued and understood. That's what we all want. We want to talk about ourselves. And they'll give you permission. They'll let you know when it's time. Make sense? Let's try it again. Let's start in the back. So when I give you an open door, start getting me to talk about myself, okay? But not until I give you permission. That's what I meant. Do you guys get that?
Yes.
Okay. Greet me and ask the first question. Same drill. Start all over, Christina. Or Cece. Greet me, ask the first question.
Good afternoon. Welcome to ABC Motors.
Hi.
My name is Brad.
Michael.
Michael, now, am I to assume that you're here to buy a car? Or are you just looking for one?
Well, eventually to buy, but yes, I'm looking for one.
I was going to ask you, what kind of are you using it for commute, or are you using it to for pleasure?
Actually, mostly commute, but a little of both.
Are you looking for a car or possibly a
vehicle? Yeah, nope, a car.
Do you like to travel a lot, or you mostly stay in the city, or go back and forth to work?
Yeah, basically it's from my house to the airport, airport back to my house. That's basically what I use the vehicle for, yeah.
Welcome to Ron Tompkins Dodge. Paul Ritter's venue.
Hi, Paul. Next question.
Okay. What equipment do you like about your own car, you know, that you would want in a brand new one?
Okay. Basically, I drive from my house to the airport, airport back to my house. Basically, that's what I do. What are you, a terrorist? See, it worked a second time. Amazing. You never do it twice, but it worked. Okay. Why the airport, pal?
Are you a pilot? Are you
a pilot? I mean, boy, that's weird. You know, I don't know anyone on Earth that just drives to the airport. What do you do? I'm a success coach. Success coach? What the hell is that? Listen, that's why we role play. Don't let any bozo tell you, oh, you know what? I hate to role play, but when I'm with a customer, I'm Godzilla. Right, pal. Right. We do with customers what we do in the role play. And that's why we role play. Okay? Role playing is where you're supposed to feel, ugh. That's where you're supposed to feel like a weenie when you're role playing. Not with you when you're a customer. The thing is, when you don't get better by taking ups. You don't. When we talk to customers, oh, excuse me, at the beginning of our careers, we'll get to whatever level of competency, the skills and habits and tools that we have get us to. But at that point, unless we're role-playing, unless we're practicing our craft, the only way we're going to make more money is to do what we're doing more often. And sign me up for that program. I'm working 60 hours a week. I'm making $2,000 a month. Sign me up for an extra shift. Come on. That's why we role play. Okay? I want to do it one more time and let's fly through it. When I give you a door, seize it. Start asking about me. Okay? I, honest to goodness, I really want to talk about myself.
What about a non-business related review? Like, how do you think the Blazers are doing in the tournament or, you know, whatever?
Basketball, like absolutely.
You didn't hear the question.
That's real good, but
you can have a more casual greeting. I don't like it when I'm greeted by somebody that says welcome to Decana. I don't like that. I mean, that's intimidating from the very beginning. And there's other ways to greet people without such a business greeting. They've been greeted like that everywhere they go. I mean,
Teresa. But there's some real good points here. One was, what if you do a little more familiar greeting like, gee, how about them Blazers? And the answer was, I hate basketball. That's part of the reason why you don't do that. But again, understand that my doesn't mean you don't do that. It may work perfectly for you. There were enough times in my experience that it didn't work for me, so that's why I'm not an advocate of that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that that's not what you do.
Well, somebody walks up in a Blazer hat and a Blazer, yes. They're not going to say, I hate the Blazers.
Good recovery. And then Teresa said something that I really got to cover. She said, you know what? I don't like being greeted that way. I don't like that professional greeting, you know, the role, welcome to ABC Motorsports. That kind of turns me off. Okay? It's not about you. It's about our customer. And if all we do is what is comfortable with us, if all we do is interact with what would make us feel comfortable, all we're going to do is sell people like us. That make sense? And there was another point. Oh, and she said, every other store they've been to, they've been greeted in a professional, you know, in a business-like manner. No. Have you shopped other stores? How many of you on a regular basis shop your competition? Let me see. Let me ask, now keep your hands up for a second. Those of you who are raising your hand, does that practice make you money?
Yes.
You won't believe it. It will freak you out. How much you learn and how much money you, how you can equate that to dollars on your paycheck. People don't get that. An appreciable percentage of customers don't even get greeted.
I bet people be shocked. Welcome to the kind of country.
Thanks. And when they are greeted, the vast majority who are greeted in a, how are you folks doing today? Yeah, what can I show you? I worked in a store as a consultant that, honest to goodness, counseled their salespeople to greet customers this way. Hi, welcome to ABC Motors. Are you looking or buying today?
Looking.
Now, how many of you think that that's closing prematurely? Okay. But, you know, all these are real good points. And again, just because I'm saying it doesn't mean it's true or any of that stuff. My experience has been that having a set professional greeting by far and large is probably the best avenue to go. But if you see someone pulling a Blazer van and Blazer, I mean, yeah, I'd probably say, you like the Blazers? It's probably what I would do too. Okay? I really want to do this before the break. Let's go ahead and ask me the questions. I want you to, for one thing, my Legend lease is up in 5 months. And I do live in Portland. So guess what? I'm a real buyer. Okay? Second thing is, I want you to, and I really do have two dominant buying criteria. I want you to establish that. And I really do like to talk about myself. So make contact. I mean, let's do this for real, okay? But let's be one salesperson, a collective mind. Let's start with Carl here. Carl, you asked me a question. Greet me, first question. Listen to this. Let's go 4 minutes if we can. Get me to talk about myself, find my two hot buttons, and rock and roll.
Okay, welcome to Ron Talking Toyota.
Hey. Hey, Carl, Michael.
Nope,
just you, bud. Well, what do you mean by elaborate?
All the bells and whistles.
I want all the bells and whistles.
For luxury car or a more
I want all the bells and whistles.
Okay.
Are you adding the car to the family or are you trading something else?
Adding the car to, that's a good question. I'm adding the car to the family.
Even though I've heard you're interested in a car, have you ever thought about a truck?
We already have a truck. My wife drives that.
Are you looking for any particular equipment? You know, light?
Yeah, I want all the bells and whistles.
Was there anything specific that you want in your new vehicle that you currently have in your old vehicle?
Yeah. I want leather interior, power windows, power door locks, AM, FM cassette, CD player. I want a moonroof. I want power seats. I do want the memory on the power seat on the driver's side. Anti-lock brakes. If I can get all-wheel drive, cool. Otherwise, front drive. That's it.
Is fuel efficiency something that's a consideration?
No, because basically all I do is drive from my house to the airport. That's basically all I'm doing, so most of it's freeway. I'm not really interested in fuel economy, but thank you for asking.
No, you want the memory sheets?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to smack you.
You must have somebody else that will be driving it also?
What are you, a terrorist?
Yeah. No, basically, I'm going to be the only one driving it.
What are you, a terrorist?
No, I'm not a terrorist. Thank you for asking. No, I'm a success coach.
What the hell's a success coach?
Very good. basically what I do is I help people attain higher levels of personal and professional success. So I write books, I do workshops, seminars, one-on-one counseling, in-house things like that. So I'm on the road quite a bit.
Any particular line of business that you coach?
I'm doing more personal stuff lately, but yeah, sales, management, life skills. I do pro bono stuff in all the high schools in every city I'm in. Things like that.
You can probably teach me a few.
I probably could learn just as much.
Hey, I'm just listening to you and all the options that you're looking for. I just have a perfect car for you. Will you just follow me?
Well, that's 2 minutes and 24 seconds. But Fritz, let me ask, what are my two dominant buying criteria?
You need a car for just going to be
luxury.
So
luxury is one.
So luxury, well, no, luxury is appointments. So what's my motivation behind the luxury? Influence. Because I carry clients once in a while, but you don't know that yet. You're going to show me something without knowing that I actually carry clients in the car. And that's why influence is real important. What's my second dominant buying criteria? That's equipment.
How the car makes you feel.
Actually, well, influence is one. The other is safety. But you guys don't know that yet. You don't know that I also carry my family in the car. So Fritz is very, very good, and you did that because you knew I wanted to make this point. Oftentimes, thank you for doing that. Oftentimes, customers get led to a car prematurely. They get shown a car before we establish what their hot buttons are and rapport. Take your time, man. And a customer goes, man, why are you asking me all this stuff? I told you I want a Miata. He said, sir, believe me, if the only way I'm going to make money off you is to sell you a Miata, that's what I'm going to do. But if I ask you a few questions, I find out that you carpool, you're bumper-to-bumper traffic, you're carrying four people regularly, I might just show you MPV. But make no mistake about it. If the only way I'm going to get a commission is to sell you the Miata, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'll suggest the MPV, let you buy the Miata, and my head, when it hits the pillow, I'm going to sleep like a baby. Huh? And the people in your carpool are going to see. Why will that work sometimes?
Because you let him know you care about his needs, but you'll sell him whatever he wants.
He already knows that I'm here to make money. He knows that. So I'm acknowledging that. What he doesn't know is his interest is my interest. That's why that works sometimes. Nothing works all the time. That's why that works sometimes. We're trying to pay someone's need to be valued and understood. The way we do that is by asking questions. We ask questions to determine their buying criteria and to build rapport, to make contact. So they see me as Michael, not just some sales dude. And the way we do that is by taking our time. Some customers won't allow us to do that, that's okay. But you gotta establish rapport and value before you can get to the next step, and that's how we build growth.
We are continuing with the topic of building rapport with our customers. If you're using your workbook as a study aid, we are now on page 14. The first blank at the top of that page is for the phrase for, F-O-U-R, human relations basics. The second blank is for the term active listening. Let's go back to the live workshop to examine these two subjects further.